Avoiding deception. Have you ever had the heartbreak of having someone lie to you? Their betrayal hurt. You'd believed what they'd said because of their apparent innocence or intelligence, and only later found out they deceived you. It's happened to so many of us. Someone's hacked our bank account and stolen our money. We've ordered a product only to discover the company's a fake. A business or bank has assured us of their services only to find out they can't deliver. A friend offers information and you learn that nothing they've told you is true. Perhaps this even pertains to what you've heard about the Lord and His Word. How do we avoid such deception? The word warns, be careful, don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. None of us want to succumb to lies, and there are three sources of deception that we need to be on guard against: Satan, spiritual deceivers, and self. Deception started as early as the Garden of Eden, and Eve wasn't prepared for it. Satan snuck into Eve's space and offered her something that seemed too good to be true, to be like God, to be worldly wise, and to eat delicious food. After she'd eaten fruit, Eve's eyes were opened to the horrors of what happened. Why was Eve so vulnerable to this costly deception? There were three things. She didn't know the word, she trusted the wrong source, and she wanted something for herself. That's what'll catch us all. Unfortunately, this seed of vulnerability is attached to all of us, and if we don't prepare ourselves for it, we can surrender ourselves to the evil one who wants to steal our souls. The Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians of this, saying, "But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed." Eve's experience is meant to be a warning to us, but sadly we don't always recognize when her situation could become ours. That's why Peter warned us to stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and we know lions show no mercy to their prey. Neither does our enemy. He caused David to take a census when God told him not to. He accused Job of false piety. He attacked Yeshua, the high priest. He tried to tempt Jesus to worship him. He tries to use Peter to dissuade Jesus from his purpose. He entered Judas Iscariot to lead him to betray Jesus. He entered in Ananias and Sapphira to tempt them to lie about what they would give to the new church. A messenger from Satan became Paul's thorn in the flesh and prevented Paul from traveling to the Thessalonians so he could minister to them. We have to be careful because Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, pretending to do good and trying to convince us that what he says is right. We have to be aware of his evil schemes and his attempts to distract, disturb, and disunify us. That's why we need to give our lives over to Jesus, because Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. But we do. Since God the Father has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and daily teach the truth to us, we can be assured that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. We have to also be on the lookout for those who deliberately want to deceive us for their own personal gain or our personal downfall. The king of Assyria threatened godly King Hezekiah, telling him, "Don't let your God in whom you trust deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria." He wanted Hezekiah to give up on God and surrender his people. But Hezekiah knew God, and he saw God rescue him, as we all will. Similarly, false prophets will speak against God and his people, trying to make them doubt his deliverance. We are to watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them, Paul says. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. These people are hypocrites and liars, the word says. They want to engage us in useless talk while they themselves are living in rebellion. They want to deceive people for money. They openly indulge in sinful sexual practices, even while joining us in our church services, and they encourage us to join with them. Ultimately, they deny Jesus while fabricating their own faith. But not only do we need to beware of the deceptions of others, but our own self-deception. Jeremiah writes, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" Paul tells the Ephesians that once saved, we are to throw off our old sinful nature and our former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And James warns us against deceiving ourselves. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Faith requires righteous action. And we need to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God, of his word, of his will, and his ways, so no one will deceive us with well-crafted arguments. Paul writes that he found that sin took advantage of him and of the commands of the law and deceived him. Thus, we need to rightly divide the word of truth, or we will be vulnerable to the deceptions of the enemy and others. We have to know God's purpose for our lives, or we will be misled by good ideas. Then we have to speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. Samson didn't do this. Called of God to be a righteous judge of Israel, he let his own flesh get in the way and believed in the covering of God and not the calling of God. Thus he engaged in wicked practices while falsely believing that God would always rescue him. Goliath too believed in the power of his own might and spewed lies about God and God's people. His pride flung him face first to the ground. The rich young ruler felt his wealth would protect him. He didn't realize that only a fool stores up earthly wealth, but does not have a rich relationship with God. The Pharisee thought his prayers and piety would get him to heaven, and he didn't see that pride would cause him to fall. But there are other kinds of self-deception, the kind that says, "I'm not good enough. I'm worthless. I'll always be this way. God can't love me for all I've done. God will never answer my prayers or show me his favor. I'm just not good enough." We must warn each other every day against this deception and not be hardened against God. In order to avoid this destructive self-deception, we have to look at the cross and see our loving Savior's sacrifice on our behalf. We have to remind ourselves that he will never leave or forsake us. We have to rehearse every good and perfect gift that he has come down from the Father of the heavenly lights. We have to review his promises that we are his treasured possession, his masterpiece, and he has loved us with an everlasting love. When we know and believe these truths, we will soar on high with the eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, and the ways of the enemy and the world will be far from us. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.